Good morning. So amazing to be here. I was saying to a few people, Brian, would you mind lowering this for me? Thanks. It's great to be with you guys. I said to a few people this morning, it's very strange to say that it's warmer here than it is in Natal. When I left yesterday, it was 9 degrees in Ballito, which is radical. I mean, I normally come here underdressed. But I think I brought too many warm clothes this time. So, but it's really amazing to be here. We are here for the lead elders time, 4:12 equipping time with some of the guys, and we're very excited about that. It's going to be a busy few days, I think, and then we're off to. I'm going back home to see my four kids and my wife, of course. Brian did say earlier something about seasons. The reason he made that joke is because my one daughter's name is Summer, Summer Joy. She's in hospital at the moment. But that's cool. She's been looked after really well, and the Lord's got her. My wife's with her, so my wife's supposed to be with me. She makes me look better, so I love her with me because people just seem to be a bit more receptive to me. I don't know. She just does that. She's beautiful, and she is my better half. But she can't be here, unfortunately, for that reason. Just so you know where she is. But I'm going to get straight into it. I get the opportunity and the privilege to share in different places all the time, which is really something I was just praying this morning, saying, Lord, it's still a wonder that you use me, because I know myself and I know my life, I know my past, I know my areas that I'm ill-equipped in, yet somehow, for some reason, God chooses to use me in different areas, and I'm really grateful for that. And as I get to the opportunity and privilege to preach in different areas and places, I don't bring a new message every time. You know, I normally in seasons, and for those that often preach, you'll know this, God sometimes puts things on your heart for a season, and there's just something that you're carrying. And normally it's actually quite amazing that in the season that you're carrying that stuff, God orchestrates all things, you know. He's way bigger than our ways. So even though it might be random that I'm here today, I'm carrying something in my heart at the moment. And I'm going to share the same thing I preached last week. I preached it twice, in fact, in two different congregations. Just before that, a similar thing somewhere else, different vein, different way of communicating. But the essence is the same. And I'm sharing it with you. Why? Because in a sense, it's kind of what I want to preach on this morning. And that's living in the moment, but being aware of eternity and how God takes us to different seasons in our lives. He puts something on your life at a time that He's doing something in your life. And it's for a specific reason. There's a significance behind it. And I feel this morning He wants to say to you, Somerset West congregation, seize the moment. Be aware of where you're at right now. And I was thinking, at the risk of offending someone, which I don't know if I will, but the problem with young people, I'm still young, but the problem with young people, I don't know who laughed, but I'm only 41. The problem with young people is you think you've got for the rest of your life to get things sorted out. And you almost disengage where you're at right now because you've got so much time to waste. Am I right? I've got so much time to burn. The problem with middle-aged people, and I don't know if I count as middle-aged, but the worries of life have begun to set in. And the cares of the world and the stresses and the things. And so what happens with you is you tend to forget and lose sight of the bigger picture because you become so enthralled in what's going on in your life right now. You lose sight. And the problem with older people is you think it's over. And I want to share something with you this morning that is a message of hope, I believe, where the Lord wants to say, don't settle. Young people, don't settle in your season of I've got time to burn. Because you don't know. You can die tomorrow. Your time could be up. Your time frame in which to sort out all the rubbish you give yourselves to between now and 30 when you somehow come to your senses, that might not be what it is. It might be over like that. And I feel like there's a sense of hope that the Lord wants to bring to some of us in our middle age where we've lost sight of the bigger picture. And I feel like the Lord wants to come and say, hey, lift your eyes at me. I want to just redirect your eyes at something of eternal value again. I want you to stop looking at the little thing and just look at the big picture. I feel like for some of us, the Lord wants to give us a new sense of hope that He's wanting to do something with your life that's far bigger in the current season that you're in. No matter how hard or easy or tough or inexpressibly difficult or whatever it might be, He still wants to do something in your current season that'll carry eternal value. Eternal value. And there's a way in which we can respond to God in our season that we're in right now. There's a way in which we can recognize, what is He doing in my life right now and how do I respond to Him? Does this make sense? And for the older guys, I love, my dad is now 73, I think, yes, somewhere there. He's not here, but sorry, Dad, if I'm wrong. And I love, there's something about him, there's always just a new passion for life. I mean, he's literally busy selling his house because he wants to start building a new house. He said to me this morning, literally saying goodbye to me and saying, bless you for going to ministry. He says to me, I think this is my last building project. And I think, I've heard you say that so many times. And that's not the point. The point is, there's this thing of, he knows his life's not over. And I feel like for us, I'm not there yet, but for the older guys, the older generation, there's something that you can break open for the younger generation, and younger being the middle-aged guys, break open for them, because you know it's not over for you. The Lord wants to do something in your life. He wants to lift your eyes to Him. He wants to use you in significant ways. He wants to do things in you that'll cause the youngsters that think they've got time to burn to look and say, oh my Lord, what am I doing with my life? And I really pray that God does something in opening our eyes today about recognizing the seasons that we're in right now. I'm in a season as well at the moment, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that just now. I don't really want to talk about myself. I know Brian said, I'll tell you my story. It doesn't really matter. I've done that enough. But I want to get into a little video, and for those, the AV, I don't know where you guys up there, I hope it works. I want to show you a little video just to illustrate something of what I want to talk about.
He's stopped by security guard. The security guard says, what have you got in your wheelbarrow? He says, well, I've got a small box. The security guard says, I can see it's a small box. What have you got in it? He says, well, you know the sawdust that's on the floor at the end of a working day? Well, it's swept up and it's thrown away. Well, I needed some, so I put it in a box and I'm going to take it home. The security guard says, open your box. He opens the box, sawdust. He says, out you go. Second day, same thing. Third day, same thing. Fourth day, same thing. Fifth day, he's pushing out his wheelbarrow. Inside the wheelbarrow, there's a small box. It's the same security guard. The guard says, it's you again. What have you got in your wheelbarrow? He says, well, I've got the same as I had the other 4 days, sawdust. The security guard says, well, open it. He opens it, it's sawdust. The security guard says, I've just got this feeling that you're stealing something. I just got that feeling. Look, he says, why don't you tell me what you're stealing and I promise I won't report you. The man says, all right then, I'm stealing wheelbarrows. You and I, we can be so preoccupied with a small package that we miss the big picture. There was a workman.
All right, so it's a funny video, but isn't it so true? If you think about your life, if you think about the times and the things you go through, and I saw young moms here, and I think of my own wife having had to go through, currently going through, bringing a toddler to church in the mornings, and conference, and places. It's just a season for you. It's a season where your life is a little one. But the reality is, God does something in that season if you're faithful with that season. It's a promise. It's when you start up a business and there's a season of, I don't know where cash flow is going to come from. The sawdust little moment in a little box in the bigger picture of what God's trying to do in your life could be the fact that you're struggling with cash flow. Or you're struggling with customers. And then the question for us almost is at the moment is, are we able to step back a little bit and look at the bigger picture and take our eyes off the little box with sawdust, which is actually immaterial and worthless in the bigger scheme of things. So the question to you this morning is, what is your little box of sawdust? What is it? Because every single one of us are in a season right now. God is doing something in your life right now, whether you're aware of it or not. And I think for some of us, we have become aware of multiple little boxes of sawdust, and we are unable to actually take our eyes off of it. We're unable to. And this morning, I really, really trust, I pray that even now, as you begin to even think about this, what is it that's causing you to lose sight of the bigger picture? Because sometimes, you know, we can hear messages and preachers, and on a Sunday morning, you can hear the best message. I mean, I'm very sure Richard's been preaching incredible messages, and you hear the word of truth. I mean, Scripture talks about this all the time. The word is like seed sown along a path, and some of it hits rocky soil, some of it hits fertile soil, some of it, and there's different conditions of soil that is at the center of our being at the moment. And the way we respond to what's going on and what God's doing in our lives right now will determine whether that thing actually takes root and grows and bears fruit. And it actually speaks, and much of it speaks about the worries of this world. And we can hear the best preachers on a Sunday morning and walk straight out, and there's a little box of sawdust waiting for us outside. And we forget all about what's been sown in our hearts. And I think it's such a pity, because isn't it more beneficial and beautiful to actually hear the word of God sown into our lives, and being aware of issues and little things and stuff, and being able to say, this is difficult, this is hard, this is something to navigate my way through. Or even, I feel sometimes we have things to celebrate, good seasons in our lives, and it becomes so much that we lose sight of the bigger picture. It's not always just bad times and bad things, and sometimes it's the successes of life that begin to take our eyes off the bigger picture. I hope this isn't a hard message for you. I started thinking about it this morning, and I'm not trying to come up with a profound saying, but sometimes I catch myself saying things that I myself am surprised, and I think, geez, did I really say that? Did I even think that? And then I soon enough, for the Lord to keep me humble, I forget it, just to keep me, and then, so I'm going to say it again, but I hope I do it justice. But while we were praying in the morning, this morning in the prayer meeting, I felt like the Lord saying to us, the biggest thing that'll stand in the way of you walking in the fullness of what God has for your life is the thing that you've made the biggest thing in your life. Does that make sense? The biggest thing that'll stand in your way is the thing that you've made the biggest in your life. It's a sense of, you've put something, you know, you've put something in place. You've made something big. And everything, every ounce of how you serve the Lord or approach God or worship Him is through the filter of the bigness of that thing. Whatever it is, whether it be your health, your financial situation, your fears, your anxieties, your whatever it might be, the bigger that thing is, you'll begin to serve an all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty God who is the beginning and the end of your seasons through a filter of something that you've made bigger than it needs to be. And I believe it's a sad thing for us to serve the Lord in that way, because He's so much bigger than that. He's so much bigger than those things. He's doing things in your life that are so much bigger than the situational things you're facing right now. So I want to read a scripture to you quickly, Ecclesiastes 3, and it talks about seasons. And before I read it, I believe, even at towards the end of this, I believe there's something that the Lord does and how He allows us to go through things that is just beautiful and glorious, actually. So it's quite long. Bear with me. I don't know if you guys, I see some bring their Bibles to church. That wasn't a chirp. I'm just, it doesn't happen often. You know, yesterday I sat on the plane. I was blown away. There's these young adults. I called them teenagers. They were not happy with me because they're now young adults 2 years later. Anyway. And I said, and they're all reading books on the plane and they're taking photos of each other with digital cameras. And I'm thinking, have I gone back 20 years? What's going on here? And so I said, what are you guys doing? I said, no, no, we've just gone without phones for a week. I thought, that's incredible. I pray you guys never see your phones again. I just thought it was amazing. Anyway, why did I go there? Bibles, actual Bibles. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, it says this, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up and a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Verse 9, what do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to the end. And I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. When last did you look at your seasons and think, this is the gift of God? This is a gift from the Lord. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Now, I've been through one or two fairly difficult seasons in my life, and I don't mean to say that I've been through the most difficult seasons, because there are others, you know, whenever there's a saying, whatever you're going through, someone's going through something worse than you. And it's a good saying, but the thing is, for you, what you're going through is the biggest thing in your life, so it doesn't need to be diminished. Because what you're going through is legitimately what you're going through. So just because someone else is going through something far worse, and that might be the worst thing you ever go through in your whole life, that doesn't mean that anyone else can tell you that's not so bad. But it's only so bad if you go through that thing and you don't allow the Lord to do what he wants to do in your life at that time. That's a pity. I think that's sad for me. Because I know that there's a God, the real, only one, true, living God, who is called the Alpha and the Omega. Do you know what that means? It means he's the beginning and the end. It means what he starts, he finishes. It means what he wants to do, he sees into completion. And there's a plan that he has, and let's be honest, I just think this morning there's someone, one of my elders on my team, his wife, she's sitting with stage 4 cancer at the moment, and we don't know what her journey's going to look like. You know, it's just one of those things where it's just rapidly increasing in a rate that we can't even. And so even for her, her season here might come to an end, but there's an internal mindset that she's got. And I've never in my life seen a woman so faith-filled and in absolute peace with God. Completely unsure of what lies ahead and how long it's going to be and what's going to happen and what's going to happen to my 4 kids. But just saying, Lord, whatever you want to do in me in this season, let that count. Because you've placed eternity in my heart. Does that make sense? I think sometimes we need to wake up and stop thinking like I just need to go through life and just do my days? And what is it that you are losing out on? Philippians 3, I was actually supposed to start with this. It's not Philippians 3, Philippians 1. Thank you. My wife was here. She hates it when I sniff. I always say this. Andrew doesn't mind doing this, but imagine blowing your nose in front of 200 people. Philippians 1 verse 3 says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you know that's a promise to you and I? Do you know that there's a promise for you and I that when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as our Lord, he's now the one that sits on the throne to us in our hearts. Do you know there's a promise that he makes where he kind of says, there's things in your life I'm going to begin to touch because I've started a good work in you. The day you've given your life to me, that's just the beginning. Yes, you saved, but that's the beginning of me doing things in your life that will ultimately bring me glory, not you. It won't always be the best for you. It won't always be the most comfortable for you. It won't always be the most picturesque moment of your life. It won't always be, but it will always be beautiful in the sense that I'm beginning to do something in your life that'll bring you from one degree of glory to the next. There's something about I want to shape you and mold you and make you into something that's beautiful. Because in light of eternity, I know where I want to take you. I know what I want to do with your life. And he doesn't want anything to stand in the way. So what's your box of sawdust at the moment? What season are you in right now? So one of the questions is, well, how do I determine what season I'm in right now? Who wants to know? No one. Why, are you scared? Who wants to know what season they're in right now? Maybe you know. Who knows? Who knows? See, sometimes knowing what season you're in can become too much as well. Too much of a thing. I just want to pursue, what is it? Sometimes there's just this sense of, there's this reoccurring things that are taking place in your life. So how do you know? Well, what keeps popping up? Wherever you're at right now. What keeps popping up in your life right now? And I've shared this story before, multiple times. I don't think I have to you guys. There was a season in, I think it was 2 years into planting our first congregation in Richards Bay. And my business, I was still, the church couldn't afford to put me in full time. And so I was working, I was double timing, as they call it. It's a terrible thing to double time because you're really trying to focus on two different things and it's not easy. I was waking up at 4:30 in the morning. I owned a franchise and a gym. And I'd go and I'd open up and hopefully my staff show up for the day and get things sorted out. And then I'd work until about 2:00 in the afternoon. And then I'd start pastoring people. I'd see them and have meetings in the evening because we're planting a church. And that's the season that I'm in. I'm working for the Lord. And financially, things were very, very tough. So I was giving myself fully to a business that was just sucking all my money. And the church wasn't able to support me. And it was horrible. And then somewhere within that, I was just depleted in the sense of what kind of stress I could carry. I couldn't anymore. And one day I remember waking up and I was just riddled with fear and anxiety in such a way that I couldn't explain it. It was debilitating for me. I was scared of the most illegitimate, silly, stupid things. I was scared that the police were going to rock up and arrest me because my health certificate was 3 days late to be renewed. I mean, I was, there was this illegitimate things, and I didn't do anything. I didn't give myself to anything. I didn't watch bad movies. I didn't watch horror movies. We look after our souls in that way. But for some reason in that season of my life, I was struck with illegitimate things that were just trying to have its way with my thoughts and my heart and my mind. Wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go sit in the lounge, and I would just begin to read the word. And I would wake up in the middle of the night and start thinking, don't think, don't think, don't think, because my mind was so riddled with it that I as soon as I start thinking, thoughts start going. And as soon as I start thinking, I'm just feeling anxious again. But I would fight it again. I would say, Lord, this is not you. This is not from you. And although you're allowing this in my life right now, this is not who I am. Don't settle there. And I would drive to church because I'm leading a church while going through all of this stuff. But I'm fighting. I'm not settling. Not giving into it. I'm coming against it. Driving to church and I'm crying. My wife thinks I'm having a really intimate moment with the Holy Spirit. But I'm feeling so anxious because I don't feel like I'm ready for this. And I'm just, and in worship, I'm crying. I'm on my knees. And my whole congregation thinks, look at our fearless leader. He's in the throne room with the Lord. But I'm fighting a battle on my knees saying, dear God, Jesus, I need you. I feel so ill-equipped right now. I can't do this. These thoughts that are going through my mind of fear, this is not you, Lord. And then somehow, somewhere in worship, I'd get up and he'd give me the grace. He'd settle me. Give me peace. Give me faith. That's the place from which we minister. Not duty or obligation. Finding faith and grace in my Lord and my Savior. And you know what? I fought that battle for a year and a half. A year and a half. It wasn't one Sunday. I had to get up every day. I tell you this story because some of us need to stop settling in the seasons that we're in. We need to begin to stand up. Not tap out every time life gets hard. Oh, I need a break. Richard, I need to step off worship. Sorry, my family and I won't be coming to church for the next 4 weeks because things are tough. There's times you got to rest, man. There's times you got to like look after your family. And there's times where, but the kingdom needs to always advance in your life. That can never stop. The kingdom needs to always break through your life. When you tap out from that, what's happening? You're actually giving the enemy a little sawdust box to put in your wheelbarrow and you focusing on something that is not from the Lord. Jesus, help us this morning to take our eyes off of sawdust. Immaterial, silly, stupid things that are stealing the things that you want to do in light of eternity in our lives. At the moment, I'm in a season where life is, it's been tough, man. You know when you put your hand up, you say, Lord, use me. I think he laughs sometimes maybe and says, hey, no problem, but you have no idea what's in store for you. And it's not like he loves me. And so he'll put me in places to do things in my life. And that's okay. I'm okay with it. But I don't know. So I think he must think, my dear boy, I love your heart. But it's about to get tough. I love the fact that you want to be used. But hey, some things will happen. Not because he wants to punish me. Because he loves me. So only recently we were in Richards Bay. And, you know, life's going well. We've got two congregations and I'm ministering in different areas, and I say to the Lord, Lord, I feel comfortable. I've got a nice eldership team, two congregations, they're doing well. I just touch base with the leaders. I live 900 meters from one of the best surf spots that I've ever surfed in my life. I surf every day of my life when I used to live there. Life's good, man. I'm in a small town. Everyone knows me everywhere I go. I've been there for 8 years. We've established a school. I've opened a restaurant. It's doing well. You know, people know you where you go. And life's just good. But in my spirit, I'm going, Lord, I don't know if this is the season where you want me to stay. So I pray that prayer, Lord, use me. Because at the end of the day, in light of eternity, this good life can't be my little box of sawdust. And so the Lord starts stirring things in us, and my wife and I, and speaks to us about Belito, and he wants us to plant there one day, and we get confirmation through prophetic words. It's all about a year ago. And then I'm in the meantime, sorry. Is it bugging you? No, I'm just kidding. In the meantime, we get prophetic confirmation about Polito, and so we hold it lightly. I process it with some of the apostolic guys. Hey, we're feeling there's a plant coming up, and we're excited for that. And then one of the congregations I'm building into in Durban North, there's a sense that the Lord wants to bring a change there. And so eventually we get asked to actually go and take over that congregation. So my wife and I said, well, let's put the plant aside. We'll go build into that congregation and we'll go lead it, which we do. And that's been good. But now I've got to uproot my two teenage daughters, 12 and 14, and my two little ones. And let me tell you, when we first moved to Richards Bay 8 years ago, it was pretty easy because we only had two little ones and they don't really know what's going on. So all they know is there's now a bigger yard where there was a small yard. That's all they know. They don't know better. But now I've got to move my whole family. I've got to take my daughters out of a school that we started as a church. It's a safe environment for them. It's all their friends are saved. They worship in the mornings. They pray for one another at break times. All they know is just Christian life and Christianity. And I've got to take them out of that. And all the aunties that are 20-something year olds that take them out for milkshakes and love on them. But we do it and we go and we move. And suddenly we're in a town where no one knows me. I've got no credibility. I haven't done anything yet. Starting from scratch, no one knows my heart. Everyone gauges everything you say. People get offended left, right, and center. We're in one of the most opulent cities, I believe, in South Africa. Money's no question. I've got to watch myself all the time to not even give myself materialism and all the junk that it has to offer. Suddenly, I'm in a different town with a different spiritual atmosphere. Suddenly, my kids are in a school where for you to be gay at the age of 14 in a same-sex relationship is nothing to be frowned upon. My kids are hearing about things that they've never even fathomed in their lives, suddenly. We've had two children hospitalized in the last 3 months. My wife's removed from any like bit of friendship around her. She's got to start over with relationships. Life's expensive. My budget's increased by 35%. But I can tell you one thing. It's a season in where the Lord is teaching me again to say, hey, I'm doing things in your life. I'm doing things through you. Nothing feels like it's making sense. Everything feels difficult. Everything feels hard. Even yesterday, I had to go past the hospital to say goodbye to my 1.5-year-old to come here. And I'm thinking, Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Thank you, Lord, that her health is in your hands and I know it to be true. Or I could cancel a trip and lose sight of a bigger picture. So the question for us this morning, even with my teenage daughters, I've got to say, well, Lord, what have we done? What are we doing? I say, Lord, you're doing something in their lives too. You're teaching them to grow up. You're teaching them to be bold Christians in a world that is disgusting. You're teaching them to cling to you, Jesus. You're teaching them not to become lukewarm teenagers. And I've got to walk that road with them, and it's difficult. It's a hard season. I don't even know as a dad how to navigate it, but it's the season that I'm in. I can become bitter, or I can say, Lord, teach me. Help me. It's the season that you're in right now. What is the Lord asking you to do? How does He want you to respond? Because each season that you're in requires a certain response. My season right now is planting, not just church planting. The Lord is doing things in my life. He's showing me things about me, about my stiff heart, about my mindset sometimes, about my lean towards getting upset. And my, well, I can tell you one thing. I fought a battle about fear anxiety a few years ago, and so I will not become fearful and anxious again over my kids' health, my finances. Why are we here? Because I fought a battle back then. I'll stand on the Lord. But now He's teaching me something new. And I often wonder, if I didn't fight that battle back then, what would be happening right now? In a season where the Lord wants me to grow a congregation. And let me tell you, Durban North is, it's growing off the chain. I mean, we've got new visitors every week. Guys are getting saved. We've planted two new home groups. The congregation's growing. We're actually looking at planting in Belito 6 months from now. I mean, Yarius and his wife are here because I've moved from Richards Bay. I mean, I just thought of this right now. Because I've moved, God has joined myself and Yarius through a common relationship who's from Hillcrest. And there's something that God's doing in Hillcrest and the plant that's coming up very soon there as well. All because of saying, Lord, please use me. You know what? He doesn't just need church planters. He needs every single person that's able to get before Him in their current season and say, Lord, what are you doing in me right now? And how do you want me to respond? I really feel like if we can ask those questions to ourselves, Lord, what are you doing in my life right now? And how do you want me to respond to what you are busy doing? Does that make sense?